Kamyar Samimi, 64. Roxana Hernandez, 33. Ronald Francisco Romero, 39. Simrat Paul Singh, 20. These are just a fraction of the names of the 52 individuals who died while detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, between 2017 and 2021. This information was released as a part of a study conducted by the American Civil Liberties Union, Physicians for Human Rights, and American Oversight. I met with Dr. Chanel Diaz, one of the medical expert reviewers for the study. She also volunteers with the New York Lawyers for the Public Interest Medical Providers Network, conducting evaluations to advocate for the release of vulnerable individuals from ICE detention facilities.
My evaluations sometimes involve just reviewing medical records and understanding, you know, what is happening to people's health through their medical records and explaining that to their lawyers and to judges. But on several occasions, I've actually gone and done in-person interviews or evaluations of individuals who are in immigration detention.
The widespread use of immigration detention is fairly new. In the 1980s, there were fewer than 2,000 people in immigration detention. Today, there are over 41,000 people detained by ICE each day. The ACLU study, titled Deadly Failures, found that 49 of the 52 deaths reported by ICE were preventable. Dr. Diaz walked me through what she commonly saw when examining medical records.
When patients are clearly showing signs of being very sick, and there's a long delay to actually transferring them to the hospital or escalating their care, or even within the jail itself, with triaging them by someone who is licensed to triage.
Jesse Jerome Jr. was one of the individuals whose death was found to have been preventable. In the 5 weeks before his death, Jesse submitted at least 27 requests to receive medical attention. He had lost nearly 20 pounds, suffered from severe nausea and pain, and was unable to eat. His symptoms were improperly treated by nurses who were not adequately trained. On the night before his death, he collapsed twice and was placed on medical observation. Counterintuitively, not one single medical professional checked on Jesse that night. When Jesse woke up the next day, he was almost too weak to move. ICE officials waited 3 hours before calling an ambulance. Jesse died at the age of 58 from an undiagnosed gastrointestinal hemorrhage on his way to the hospital.
There's also really significant delays for people who have chronic medical conditions that require specialty treatment, like, you know, someone with cirrhosis who needs to see a liver specialist to really have their care appropriately managed. And there's oftentimes delays with that. Or someone who has pain in their gallbladder that is chronic and needs to see a surgeon to have an elective surgery. And so that is often a process that involves a lot of delay, sometimes leading to emergency situations where then people have to be transferred immediately because their life is in danger. And in some of those cases, they've actually died as a result of the delays that they experienced.
One such case is Carlos Mejia Bonilla. Carlos was a lawful permanent resident who had lived in Long Island for 25 years with his wife and children. He was arrested by ICE as a case of mistaken identity and detained at Hudson County Jail. Upon arriving at the facility, Carlos immediately informed ICE agents that he had cirrhosis of the liver, diabetes, and anemia. He was provided diabetes medication, but nothing for the other two conditions. ICE officials never attempted to contact Carlos's medical team or access his records. They never conducted standard blood tests required for someone of Carlos's condition. The facility's primary care provider prescribed Carlos naproxen without ever examining him in person. Naproxen is contraindicated for cirrhosis patients, as it can severely impact the digestive tract. 4 days later, Carlos died of gastrointestinal bleeding at the age of 46.
There's interruptions to patients' HIV treatment, to their diabetes treatment. Sometimes their insulin is stopped, to their mental health medications, to their psychiatric medications are abruptly stopped, to have their medications confiscated by ICE and never given back. And it's extremely concerning. We've seen so many cases of that.
40-year-old Efraín de la Rosa managed his schizophrenia using antipsychotic drugs. When he was detained by ICE, officials stopped providing him his medication. Despite this refusal, ICE nurses falsely recorded that they had administered the medications. As a result, Efraín began to exhibit symptoms of psychosis and suicidal ideation. Instead of providing him with mental health treatment, ICE officials remanded him to segregation, ICE's way of getting around saying solitary confinement. After spending 21 days in solitary, Efraín took his own life.
So there are many instances where an attorney may tell me, you know, this client does not speak English, but I'm seeing in their medical records that there's no documentation of any interpretation being offered. Or in the records, it may say that the patient did speak English, right? And so right off the bat, that's a major red flag for me because I know that I cannot get any significant history if I'm conducting my medical evaluation in a language that's not the patient's preferred language, right?
Adequate translation could have saved Maria Ochoa de York's life. She had been detained by ICE for 6 months when she died from liver failure at the age of 22. Because no ICE official spoke Spanish, they took her repeated pleas telling them that she felt like she was dying to mean that she was suicidal. She was placed in solitary confinement. In a recording of one of her last phone calls, she said she wanted her mother and father to know she loved them very much, and she was sorry if she ever did anything wrong.
We don't have good statistics. Where there is transparency is in deaths, but the deaths are really only the tip of the iceberg. And many advocates have also brought up concerns about, like, do we have true transparency in deaths in detention? Is ICE actually counting all deaths in detention? In some cases, people may be released on medical parole from ICE custody while they're in the hospital on their deathbed, right? And so their death is not counted, even though what led to their death may have been their time in detention. There are so many near misses and so many more people that are experiencing harm in terms of their health from detention that may not die as a result, luckily, but that are still having really serious health consequences.
The ACLU was able to find 3 cases of individuals who died shortly after being released from ICE custody, but there could be many more. A 2022 Biomed Central study surveyed various clinicians who provided medical services to formerly detained immigrants. They found that every single one of the 1,300 patients faced adverse health effects from their time in detention.
It was particularly hard to be a part of this PHR ACLU report on deaths in detention and read through so many deaths that were clearly preventable, that were so many examples of egregious medical neglect. And it was really hard to do that and then kind of like go play with my daughter. Been extremely rewarding to see the impact that my evaluations do have on cases where, you know, we have been able to get people released from immigration detention, where I've seen the follow-up that they've had afterwards and the ways in which they've been able to improved her health outside of detention.
Though Dr. Diaz's activism was spurred by the inhumane treatment of immigrants in detention centers under Donald Trump, her work has now spanned 2 presidencies. Despite the change in power from one party to another, Dr. Diaz has not seen any improvements in conditions within immigration detention facilities. During the 2024 election cycle, both candidates expressed the need for a strong border. Donald Trump promised to deport all 10 million undocumented immigrants from the United States. Though Kamala Harris said she would close the border camps on day one of her presidency during her 2020 run, she did not repeat this claim during her 2024 campaign. This year, President Joe Biden has passed a series of restrictions on asylum, which have made it harder for people who are in danger to seek safety in the United States. Human rights groups, including the ACLU, have condemned these restrictions for violating international law.
We're seeing a lot of inflammatory anti-immigrant rhetoric in the news, and it's not just coming from one party. And so I think there is a lot of concern of what this election means for immigrant communities. One concern that I have is the fact that since, you know, in recent years, the number of people after a low during the pandemic, the number of people that are detained in ICE custody on any given day has actually increased. My concern is our default to detention, our default to using detention as a form of deterrence, and what it really means in terms of having a humane approach to migration, which is a natural human phenomenon, right?